Hello.
Hello.
This is Gabriella.
And this is Claudette.
And you're listening to
Erratic Dialogue.
Erratic Dialogues.
Lady Bird is the first solo directorial debut of Greta Gerwig, who has starred, written, and collaborated in such films as Frances Ha, Mistress America, and Damsels in Distress. Lady Bird is a semi-autobiographical film of Gerwig's life growing up in Sacramento, California, and centers on Lady Bird, the titular character played by Saoirse Ronan, and her complex, prickly, and profoundly moving relationship with her mother, Marion, played by Laurie Metcalf. In the end of our 2000 roundup, we mentioned this film as one of our most anticipated of 2018, and this was slightly spurred on by the fact that the Bird for a number of weeks held that sort of very much coveted and rare rating of 100% fresh and Rotten Tomatoes. Since then, this roseate rating has slightly dimmed at 99%, thanks to some contrarian critics, but I still think both of us came to this film with exceedingly high expectations. So, Gabby, I want to ask you the eternal question, the question I ask every time we record. How did this film meet these expectations? Did you like this? And this is quite unusual because I actually don't know what you're going to say.
Well, for once. Yeah, I really liked it. I found the film very sweet and very, very moving. I was really touched. I think every person who has a parent, again, or any kind of familial relationship, can watch this film and have a sense, I guess, a real sense of empathy with the characters. Mm. It's interesting because it caused me to reflect on my own relationship with my mom and maybe understand her in different ways, but it also kind of solidified my own perceptions as a child. So as what it means to be the child of someone. So I think it's a great film in that it does that for the audiences, for its audience. Yeah, I really liked it. What did you think?
Yeah, I really liked it too. It's definitely one of my favorites of, I guess, you know, if we think of like the film year for 2017, I think it's a lot simpler than I thought it was going to be. I kind of had these expectations. And I think, I don't know, I thought, you know, something sort of drastic's going to happen.
Someone's going to get pregnant.
I know. Somebody's got cancer. You know, somebody's going to die in a car crash. I thought something was going to happen that. And it's actually just a very simple film that seems kind of almost unambitious. But I think its simplicity is the result of somebody who just has really great control on the character and the story and has this great sense of empathy.
Yeah, certainly. When the film ended, I felt just like I wanted to watch it forever and I wanted to see how Lady Bird's life would unfold. I didn't want it to end. And it kind of stayed with me for a few days. In saying that now, I don't... It hasn't stuck with me so much. I would rewatch it. I feel like it's one of those films that you could endlessly rewatch. But it hasn't... I think it touched me very much at the time, but as time has worn on, it hasn't stayed with me. Has it stayed with you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm always like, even though I've seen it, I'm always keen to like, if anybody ever wanted to watch it, I'd be like, yes, I would watch this film again. I think part of it is because I feel like so much of the film, there's so many resonances to my own life from the film. I mean, 2002 Sacramento, California is a little bit ahead. The character's a little bit older than me, but I was very much a teenager at that point of time. And I went to a Catholic girls' school, had those cool nuns who like just seemed very like had a sense of humor and seemed very liberated. And I was a huge theater kid. So like I feel like I understand that space and I understand that character. And I feel like Gerwig really captures what it's like to be a teenager in that moment of time before, you know, pre-Facebook.
Pre-phone.
Yeah. Pre-mobile phones even.
Yeah.
I just loved all those sort of like little touches that she would do to really round up that space.
Yeah. And you had a sense of like the texture of their lives in a way that you don't have in a lot of teen movies, and a real sense of kind of what what it means to, I guess, have familial relationships. And I loved how I love the script, because the script captures how, you know, you can have that sense of intimacy and closeness with your mom, but then in a split second,
it just,
like, the dynamic completely changes. Just from a few, like, the choice of one word can completely change an interaction with a parent. So
yeah, it's that kind of, like, I mean, I really understood, like, having a parent who does find it very hard to say emotional things.
Mm.
And so they read, whether it's like culture or just the way in which they've been brought up, that their kind of way of loving is to, like, through criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you know, they tell you all the things that you need sort of to improve oneself, and that's their form of love. Emotional clarity or transparency can be extremely difficult through in parental child relationships.
Yeah.
And I think that this film really, really delicately underscores that struggle.
Yeah, the moment that kind of stayed with me the most was Laurie Metcalf in the car on the way of when she leaves the airport, and like how she gradually falls apart and comes back to the airport hoping that she'll make it.
Yeah.
That was really, really heartbreaking. But it captures so many things about what it means to be a mom, or what I think it means to be a mom. And I really liked how it dealt with class in America.
Yeah,
I thought that was just really phenomenal.
When you think of teenage films of this sort of ilk, you know, whether it be Mean Girls or Clueless or what was that movie that Emma Stone was in?
Easy A.
Yeah. They very much come from the prototype of, like, John Hughes films. And John Hughes films, with one notable exception that has actually a very close relationship with Lady Bird, like, his films generally deal with upper class, rich, white people. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a perfect example of that, how, like, no consideration to money, right? But this film really explores what it's like to grow up or have a family where, you know, money is a struggle. You get on, but there's a lot of sacrifices to be made. And, you know, the only John Hughes film that really, really explores that, or as well as Some Kind of Wonderful, is Pretty in Pink. And, like, there's some very sort of obvious connections to Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, the pink dress. There was one moment when after it's revealed that the house Lady Bird says that she lives in is not actually her house, in an exchange with the rich, popular girl. Because it's always the popular girl is always the rich one, right?
But I like how this one kind of was a little bit more rounded.
She
wasn't an outright bitch. I mean, the Lady Bird actually, like, lies to her. And you find out that she's actually doing AP calculus.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but there was this bit where the popular girl says, I don't understand why anyone would lie about that. Like, she can't understand what it means to be poor. And I think how the film dealt with that was really powerful, actually, because we do understand. The audience is meant to understand that and understand why Lady Bird makes the certain decisions that she does, because she's young, and I don't think she realizes what it means to, I guess, make the sacrifices parents make in order to provide a future for their children. And it's the kind of things that when you are 17 or 18, you really don't think about it at all. You probably don't think about it until you move out. And Lady Bird only has a sense of reckoning when she's, you know, at the very end of the film. But
then at the other hand, I do feel that Marion, Laurie Metcalf's character, Lady Bird's mother, sometimes she's just, like, too much.
Yeah, too mean.
It's like that point.
Way too mean.
Like that point where she gets annoyed at Lady Bird for using two towels.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, you know, if
you don't realize,
two towels, then I have to do washing before I leave home. And at this point, Lady Bird's really trying very hard to be a bit more empathetic about the situation. But her mum just won't let go of that control. Speaking of money, one of the scenes I loved was the scene where they go and visit the like go and visit home inspections and stuff.
Yeah. Imagine. Or their favorite thing to do on a Saturday afternoon. I was like, that is the bleakest thing I've ever seen.
Well, actually, you know, I recall growing up because we lived very close to a model home sort of
thing. Oh, the McDonald houses.
Yeah. And, you know, my parents, that was my parents' favorite thing to do. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so like even that sort of touch reminded me of like.
It must be know. All. I mean, I just find that so like. Just dive straight in the heart, you know, like, like look at all the things you can't have.
What
like
you can't have. But I mean, like that, I feel like that is a realistic depiction of what it is when you are not necessarily upwardly mobile, when you live in like the working class. But and I love that. I loved how it's like empathetic and joyful. Like, it's a bleak concept, but I think... Like it was that one point where they like totally connected.
Yeah. What did you think about her relationship with her best friend?
I love that relationship too. I love Julie, played by, I'm going to look it up, Vinnie Feldstein, who's actually Jonah Hill's
sister. You can see it. Once you know it's Jonah Hill's sister, you can totally see it.
I thought she was great. I mean, I probably relate more to Julie than I actually do to Lady Bird. But I love their relationship. Yeah, I loved how they would like break into the church and eat unconsecrated Holy Communion while talking about masturbation.
That was wonderful. Yeah, I liked how I really liked how the film. You think because it's a teen movie, it's set up to make you think it's going to be about boys and sex.
Yeah,
but really, it was about like mothers and friends, and I loved that. Like the scene where they go to the prom, and
oh, I love that.
That was really beautiful. And but yeah, there's also this a sense of the film doesn't shy away from like the harshness of the world, like the fact that Julie decides or for whatever reason is not going to college, even though she's the more academically talented, the more dramatically talented because they're both in the drama class together.
Yeah.
Like she's got all the aptitude, but she doesn't have the future ahead of her and decides to stay in Sacramento and not pursue her dreams, which is like very real.
Yeah. And you sense like even like there's a certain sadness when she and Lady Bird, you know, reconnect and just before the prom. And I mean, the film doesn't really look at that, but you do get this sense that there's something going on in her life as well. Like some sort of sadness that I think is contributing to the fact that she's just doesn't seem to have the ambition or the support to move away. Lady Bird does.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And also, you know, when we, Timothée Chalamet's character.
We have to talk about the boys, the love interest.
I don't remember the name of his character, but, you know, he's basically like the quintessential, like, I don't know, mad, bad, dangerous to know, but in high school, so really none of those three things.
Yeah, the guy who seems really deep.
Yeah, and but then... is actually like I don't believe in money, but look at me in my mansion kind of thing. But, you know, it's revealed that his dad has cancer. And like, I don't know, there's just like such a sense of empathy about all these characters. Like these characters might be, this guy might be a piece of... I don't want to swear.
I think I already have, but anyway.
It might not be very nice, but there's also kind of a larger, rounded emotional context behind him.
Yeah.
Which I found very, like, I don't know. I really liked how the film didn't make its characters two-dimensional.
Yeah, I think it's, unlike some of these other films, I think this film explores different perspectives. It's almost kind of like... omniscient in that way. Like sometimes the character just is not wholly rooted on Lady Bird. Like there's some shots, like there's one of my favorite shots is just of Marion Laurie Metcalf's character just driving, enjoying driving through Sacramento, and it's not connected to anything, but it gives you a sense of who this woman is. Like similarly, so I like how the film, you know, looks at the priest who is directing these school plays, and there's a scene where he admits that he has depression, and like that's nothing really to do with Lady Bird, it's not really referenced, but I love how it gives these characters a little bit more breathing room, and they don't feel like props solely to sort of support Lady Bird's sense of self or sense of the world. They are individual characters.
Yeah.
I loved all the theater scenes.
Yes, those were great. Yeah, I really liked the theater scenes, especially when the sport coach has to take over the theater class, and this is, yeah, it's really funny. I mean,
it's
a little,
it's probably the most sort of like absurdist part of the film. I mean, I totally related to these theater scenes, that audition scene. I just remember that. I would have totally fallen in love with any boy who gave like a good rendition of Giants in the Sky. I was like totally delighted that the musical that they were doing is this musical called Merrily We Roll Along, which is a Stephen Sondheim musical, and it's one of his most notable flops. But it's a musical that was performed by people around Lady Bird's age in 1981, and it was one of the reasons why it flopped, because they were supposed to be playing these world-weary characters. But the play itself is about youthful hopefulness versus the cynicism of being an adult and the things you lose as you try to attain the things that you want, most notably the cost of ambition to relationships. And so there's this really nice and very subtle mirroring going on. I loved, you know, when they do The Tempest and Lady Bird doesn't show up to rehearsals and Julie gets really angry at her and she's like, you've been cast. And she's like, I'm The Tempest. That's just like what, you know, what school directors do so they can like make everybody feel inclusive. And Julie's like, that's a titular character. So to wrap things up, I think basically what we're saying is this is a really lovely film.
There's lots, it's very endearing, like there's, I don't know, it's also so short, it's like an hour and a half, it's just perfectly timed, it's got a good sense of its own movement, it's not bloated in any capacity, it's, yeah, it's self-aware, but not in an annoying way.
So my favourite part in the film is this scene where the nun, the head nun, compliments Lady Bird about her college application essay, and it's about Lady Bird has written about Sacramento, and the nun says, it sounds like you love Sacramento, and Lady Bird says, no, I don't think I do, and the nun says, well, you just write about Sacramento with so much love, and Lady Bird says, well, I just notice things, and the nun says something about, have you ever thought noticing things and love can sometimes be the same thing?
Well, I think the word she uses is attention.
Attention, yeah. And love and attention, and I think that's the beauty of this film, is that Gowie plays so much attention to the little details in the film, and they do, these details seem suffused with love.
Yes, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Erratic Dialogues. You can listen to our other episodes and read our essays on our website, erraticdialogues.com. That's dialogues with a G-U-E-S. Subscribe to us on iTunes and get in touch with us via Facebook and Twitter.